Happy Friday, everybody. Friday edition of Robbie and Rexrode here at 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Joe Rexrode here with Nick Keyser producing. Intern Brandon is in the house. And Paul Kaharski in for Robbie Stanley.
Excited to be back, Joe. Having a blast. I'm sponsored by Nashville Grass 365. Easy backyard lawn installations that look great and get you maintenance free. No more fertilizing, watering, or mowing. Check them out at nashville.grass365.com. My friend over there tells me he's getting some calls. Don't be left behind as your neighbors make smart choices here.
There you go. And Robbie and Rex Show is presented by T.J. Anderson Homes, a Benchmark Realty. Call T.J.'s team to see why they are referred so often. We're here in the game studio sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical, and we got a lot to get to today. Let's see. What do we have today? We've got no Titans practice. That's a travel day for them. We've got another Jared Stillman, Paul Kaharski conversation, which I'm sure will be lovely.
I'm exhausted just making notes.
Yeah, 7 a.m. Call Your Shot Friday at 6:45. We have TD with his weekly visit at 8. And it's going to be Titans heavy day. If you got something other than Titans today, I'll entertain it. You know, the college football bleep show is ongoing, but I think we're mostly going to hit Titans. And, well, first, before we get into Titans, preseason football happened last night. Let me raise my hand and say I didn't watch 1 second of it, but I did see some tweets about, like, C.J. Stroud's interception. So, I don't know. You got anything for me on that?
I don't. I watched a couple highlights. I hate that now, you know, if you go to ESPN to watch, it says highlights, plural. You click on it, it shows
like
one
play.
Highlight.
Oh, it's the worst.
Like, give me 3 minutes on the game. That's
sometimes you can find that. Sometimes
NFL
you'll
Network, maybe.
No, but even at ESPN, like, sometimes you can stumble across that where it's like the actual
package.
Highlight package. But usually it's like, yeah, here's this one play. No. Give me
3 minutes.
Don't chop up the videos like that. It's bad enough. Yeah, So anyway, the Texans beat the Patriots 20-9, and the Seahawks beat the Vikings 24-13. And I saw our Junie Riddle tweeting up a storm about how much better Davis Mills looks than C.J. Stroud. So take that for what you will. But more preseason tonight. Then of course the Titans at noon tomorrow at Chicago. So we're gonna get into the Terrell Williams, which I thought his presser yesterday was amazing. I was like, hey.
You wanted him for Vrabel once a week. I want him for Aukerman. I would take that trade off in a second. Assistant head coach over special teams coach.
Oh, I mean, that's a great idea. I've said this before, and you're an offender too. Like, the most interviewed special teams coach in NFL history is Craig Aukerman. Like, I mean, do we have to ask him every press conference?
There are plenty of weeks where I don't ask him a question.
But do we have to ask him every week, like, so what are you looking for, you know, on kickoff coverage? I just don't.
Well,
I can't.
I think it's generally a worthless thing, but I think it's fun to hear him say 40 to 49 is what he's looking for, and he wants punt returners who can catch the ball. I mean, to see his low standards displayed and articulated on a nearly weekly basis is amusing to me. That's what I get out of it. If he's going to be up there for 7 minutes a week, their low special team standards articulated so regularly is amusing to me.
You know, you and Stilly are more alike than you are different. You know, you and Stilly, absolute, like, Craig Aukerman haters club.
That we don't like the performance of special teams. I mean, everybody should not like the performance of special teams. That does not make us alike.
You know, I wrote a thing in The Athletic about the different possible head coach, you know, in light of the Terrell Williams situation this week, where, of course, he's a head coach. Right now, he's in the 48-hour window of the Titans, kind of like listing out some possible, you know, the coordinators, obviously, and, like, you know, Charles London. I didn't mention Craig Aukerman, but, I mean, that there are people who, you know, look at Craig Aukerman. I mean, he has taken over this team before.
There are so many special teams coaches who are – I mean, Craig Aukerman's not one of the best special teams coaches in the league. He's not close. There are way better special teams coach candidates. Rich Bisaccia did it. And had some success in with the Raiders. Dave Taub, I think he's with Kansas City still. is far better. I mean, if you're looking for the next Harbaugh because he's a guy that's touched everybody on the team, I mean, there is some logic to that.
Yeah.
But Craig Aukerman's good with people because he's dealt with everybody on the Titans. But you also have to have had some results with your unit, which he's not had.
Yeah, that does get into a topic I want to get into later, because actually one of the most interesting things, Terrell Williams, a lot of praise for Vrabel yesterday, appreciation. He was funny up there. I thought he had some good stuff. One of the interesting things that he talked about was this, basically like the idea that everybody thinks like it's just like you have to be a play caller, you know, to be able to be a head coach. Like he made the case for the leader of men hire, which really is what Vrabel was, right?
Yes.
I mean, Vrabel had 1 year with bad results as a DC. Granted, his whole defense was out, but still, I mean, that was a leader of men hire, you know, and so that's kind of the same vein of a Terrell Williams or Craig Aukerman. But I hear you on results.
Well, let's go in with the leader of men thing, which we had scheduled for later, and we'll hopscotch to it now. You asked kind of in our prep, you know, would you take the leader of men over the whiz kid play callers? You know, McVay won a Super Bowl. Shanahan is kind of the standard. His right. offense is the thing that everybody models after.
If I could get those two Taylor, guys, it's an easy answer.
Taylor, you know, everybody kind of laughed at when the Bengals hired him, and he's fallen into great personnel, but he's a damn good coach. I'm not saying, hey, I'm not taking one of those types of guys because Mike Vrabel and maybe D'Amico Ryans.
Dan Campbell. Those are some of Dan Campbell's a leader of men guy.
I think Dan Campbell's going to turn out to be fraudulent.
Maybe.
But
the Lions
I think people. I think there are good people in both baskets.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think, you know, you look at the whiz kids, to say McVay's not a leader of men or Shanahan's not a leader of men or Taylor's not a leader of men is to shortchange them in that department. To say Vrabel's not a whiz kid play caller. Well, he's not a whiz kid offensive play caller, clearly, but – He's able to put C team players on the field and win with them. There's a whiz kid element to that.
There's a whiz. No, I would say whiz kid defensively is fair. It's also just like, I mean, what you think of, what comes to mind is like the Shanahan, right? I mean,
yeah. And
like
people want, you know, they look at units. You know, he hasn't had a top three defensive unit, therefore he's not. Well, it's about the wins, you know, and he's won a lot of games, as those other guys have as well.
Matt LaFleur is, you know, he's obviously in the whiz kid basket.
Yeah.
Had a lot of success.
I mean, we're going to learn a lot about LaFleur now, minus Rodgers. But you can't score him down because he got into a great situation and did well with the great situation. I mean, his postseason wasn't what you want, but Matt LaFleur in Green Bay is a success, whether you like it or not. You can put a lot of arrows into it, but look at the record.
No, I absolutely agree. You know, I think as you go through the league, you've got, you know, so many hires are along. You're trying to find McVay, Shanahan, and some of them don't work out. I mean, I guess you could look at like a Hackett and say, well, there's one where maybe he was a coattail rider, right?
But who from the McVay tree hasn't worked out, or the Shanahan tree?
Right, because, I mean, LaFleur, like you just said, has had success.
O'Connell we don't know about yet.
Yeah, but there's no blatant failure at this point.
Which is pretty impressive for any tree.
Yeah, and that is the thing.
Now, we know the Belichick tree doesn't work.
Right, that has not worked. Like Tomlin's another like leader of men coach, right? I guess Harbaugh too, really. I mean, if you have to go either or with every coach in the league, you'd probably put him in that bucket.
But we're also there dividing offensive defense slash special
teams
pretty like, straightforwardly.
Like Roberts, like Robert Saleh to me is
a leader of men,
but
also a defensive.
But it's kind of like the Vrabel thing, right? Like actually, he's a really good tactician defensively.
Well, Daboll is an offensive guy. Strikes me as leader of men. He's Vrabel like. Now he's pretty good offensively, but there's a guy that crosses the fence from being an offensive play caller to being a leader of men.
Well, he's like,
and
the
I think
guy.
He's fantastic, and I think he's very Vrabel-ish.
So he's much more like affable, you know, on a regular basis. He's like your beer drinking buddy, but who also is, did stuff with Josh Allen that I think is like some of the best quarterback development I've ever seen, if not the best in this league.
It was either Carissa Thompson or Aaron Andrews. They have a podcast together who told a story about him that stuck with me that I thought was just terrific. And whichever one of them said it was really touting it as a lasting impression, where he was talking about, you know, so many people are lined up to come into his office in a given week or time period from the Giants, you know, be it number two equipment guy, marketing assistant, whomever, you know, and that it's easy to not want those meetings or to think of those as interruptions in your day, and that he approaches it as being hell-bent on being up for those meetings because that person has waited for that meeting with the head coach for a long time, and it's a super important thing for them to get in front of the head coach, and that his approach is to take it that way. This is very, very important for this person to get in front of me on my jam-packed calendar, and I'm going to be super upbeat and super attentive to what they have to say to me because I know this is an important time in their calendar. And I was super impressed by that.
So it's a lot like Nick Saban with the Dolphins? Memo,
like
do not speak to Coach Saban in the hallway.
So Harvey Green, do you know Harvey Green? Harvey Green was a PR guy for the Yankees for a good while, and then he was a legendary PR guy with Miami. I mean, I think dating back to Shula and all of that.
Okay.
Very highly respected. Saban gets there, and they've got like 15 minutes together before his introductory press conference. And Harvey's got written on a, you know, 8x10 pad some notes about, you know, what he thinks Saban will be asked and need to cover. And so he hands Saban this notepad across the desk, and he says, you know, Coach, I think these are some of the things. And Saban literally, like, takes the pad, glances at it, and throws it down on his desk. Doesn't even give the guy, like, the courtesy of glancing at something that he surely spent, you know, stayed up overnight to prep or whatever. That's, like, the typical Saban. Like, yeah, thanks, Harv.
Man, I tell you what, the good old days of Nick Saban. But, you know, there's nothing that builds character like being a student reporter and being absolutely skewered by Nick Saban. It does build character. Let me tell you that. And he was worse then than I think when he was with the Dolphins. So now he's like a sweet little teddy bear.
I just love that he, you know, said, I'm not going to Alabama.
Not gonna be the Alabama coach.
And then he's surprised when some of those Miami reporters that he said that to are in the front row of his introductory press conference at Alabama.
Right.
Like, oh, my God.
Kind of a big deal, man.
Transported here?
Oh, that was an interesting segment. We went in a lot of different directions. We're going to go next to the Titans and another day of, I'd say, a mismatch, but maybe the most severe one yet. Coming up, Robbie and Rex, 1025-106.3 The Game.
You be the acting coach for this opener.
You know, he kind of mentioned something about 2 weeks ago. He said, hey, we're going to expand on this role kind of in passing. And I was like, okay. And then maybe about a week ago, he said, I want you to take over and run the team for this football game. And I was excited, obviously. I mean, just to be in front of the group and take control of everything, I think it's a big honor. And I think Mike Vrabel deserves a lot of credit, all right? He deserves a lot of credit, not just for doing this for me, but I think around the league, hopefully more coaches will give assistant coaches opportunities to do this, because there's no – like, you got all these different programs but there's nothing more better than actually getting the experience, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for doing that.
That was Terrell Williams, who is the Titans head coach right now. He's in a 48-hour window. Mike Vrabel handing the reins over to him, and I love the switch yesterday, PK, to Terrell doing the Vrabel presser. That was one of the best Vrabel pressers ever, if not the best. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Real quick, we are your racing station. this game. The 102.5, 106.3, the game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in Saturday, 4 p.m., Pennzoil 150, and Sunday at 12:30 for the Verizon 200 at the Brickyard. NASCAR and 102.5 and 106.3, the game is presented by O'Charley's. Joe Rexford here, Nick Keyser producing intern Brandon, and Paul Kaharski in for Robbie Stanley.
How good a company is Nashville Grass 365? So good that they've made it possible for me to be here during Robbie Stanley's paternity leave. They can install turf around your pool, which means no more grass in the water and no more dirt tracked into your house. Head to nashville.grass365.com to learn more.
So I know I keep saying we're going to get to the Titans in practice yesterday, but
It's only been one segment. You don't keep saying it that much.
Well, okay. I guess you're right. That's true. It's only 6:21. But the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a couple. First of all, Matt from D.C., you're trolling me, right? She said Stroud looks like a typical Ohio State QB in the NFL, a bust. There was nothing I hate more than like people.
How many series did he play?
Well, also like the idea that Ohio State quarterbacks. Okay, so you're talking about Woody Hayes quarterbacks? You're talking about Urban? John Cooper? Like what are we talking about here? It makes there's no connection, okay? Right now, Ryan Day, if he's the coach, if he doesn't leave and Mike Vrabel doesn't take over for him, Ryan Day is going to produce NFL quarterbacks. I'm pretty confident in that. And I bet you some of them work out. Like the past of Ohio State means nothing. Yeah, I think you're trolling me, Matt. Also, Gunner says Shanahan is overrated. Above average, but if he had a different last name, there'd be a different outlook on him. No. No.
Well, it doesn't matter because his last name is Shanahan.
Well, the last name might have, you know.
Helped him early.
There's plenty of nepotism in the NFL and all that stuff. But, I mean, come on. You can't look at the results of the San Francisco 49ers since he's been head coach and call him overrated. Now, I will say his utter crippling inability to do math in a particular Super Bowl lost a Super Bowl for the Atlanta Falcons. So, you know, I'll say that there's.
Well, he wasn't the head coach either. Head coach needs to oversee.
Sure, sure. But he's. I think he's great.
Just quickly on your Vrabel to Ohio State thing, he's in an even better situation now. He's in complete control of an NFL organization in a city with mild mannered media. It's such
mild
a better job.
Mannered.
It's such a better job than Ohio State in terms of daily stress. In terms of being able to go on vacation in the off season, mild mannered. There's one person in the media that calls him out.
Oh, you're going to do the I'm the only one who. Oh my God.
Generally speaking,
that's total crap.
One person that upsets him.
Oh, really? You don't think he's been upset at me?
Yeah, occasionally.
Oh, okay. So just because you constantly annoy him?
Well, you work generally on longer, bigger pieces.
Yeah, but I write columns that have pissed him off. Okay, great.
Generally, he's not dealing with Philadelphia media and New York media.
No, that's fine, but that stuff is also – I mean, basically, you just have more voices, so more people trying to differentiate themselves, right? I mean, like –
I'm saying he's got an easy life here.
There are plenty of people here who have angered him. Glennon's angered him many
sure.
times.
All right, I'll expand it. But he's generally not annoyed.
So you think Ohio State Media Corps is like this pack of jackals?
No, I think college media corps in general are in the coach's palm.
Homer City.
But look, that's a 365 job,
yeah.
And this is not a 365
job.
No,
I agree.
And I think he enjoys that.
Look, again, I've said this from the start. If I forced to pick, if that scenario actually emerged, and by the way, it's interesting now because Gene Smith is retiring, but if that scenario came up, if I had to bet on it, I'd bet on him not taking it. But you say this is a better job. That job is it's just one of the first of all, like financially,
he'll get a raise,
right? But like, and that job, and obviously you got the heartstrings, but you have a chance to win championships over and over again. I think that the NIL stuff has just made that world less, you know, not just NIL, but I mean everything, the portal, you know, roster retention. I mean, even at Ohio State, it's different. So I don't think he would take it. But I think if the scenario came up, it's not like it's like, laugh it off either. I don't think so. And look, you don't know what's going to happen here. You don't know if things start to go south. Yeah, you're right. Right now he's in a strong position. But what if a lot of things break badly for them, right? Now, would
I don't think enough would, could break badly for them in 1 year that he's out.
But if it starts to look like where it's going, the quarterback situation doesn't look good moving forward, whatever. It doesn't – I mean, it could look different in a year is all I'm saying.
I think it gets
right?
another NFL dub in a heartbeat, he which is
could.
Better than Ohio State.
He easily could. Well, see, that's where you and I may differ a little bit. Ohio State is not
– You're a sis boom ba guy.
Well, everybody's
you
all –
You graduate college and you move on.
Everybody's always like, you know, never want to go to college football. It's not going to college football. It's Ohio State, right?
I don't know. Ohio State
so
is a college program.
There's a chance.
There you go. There you go.
It is a college program.
It is a college program. So this looks like another segment where we won't talk about the Titans offense yesterday. All right, let's go to that.
It was bad. It was disjointed. And look, I'm not an alarmist like your guy Stilly, who, you know, if the practice is good today, they're going to the Super Bowl, and if it's bad tomorrow, they're got the first pick in the draft. But yesterday was the first day that I felt like hey, this could be concerning. You know, the combination of drops and bad throws and lack of rhythm. There were some good segments. Malik Willis led a very nice 2-minute drive after some bad stuff. But Tannehill threw two picks, and Levis drove down a nice 2-minute drill and then threw a terrible interception where he said afterwards he just read it completely wrong, what he saw. The drops, very concerning. NWI, I had recorded a podcast talking about that included a breakdown of some receivers talking about if you had to pick a guy having a bad camp, it's him. And then he dropped a ball in individual. He dropped
a touchdown
in 7-on-7, and he dropped another ball. I don't know if that was in 7-on-7 or on team. But a bad day for him that seemed to be compounding. He's not in roster trouble, I don't believe. I think he's the fourth outside receiver and the second slot receiver, and there's not enough pressure from behind for somebody that could really take his job. But he's got to shake out of this.
It looks like his first camp.
Yeah. And I didn't feel good about the offense yesterday at all. DeAndre Hopkins did come out about halfway through. So you can't say, oh, it was the Hopkins-less offense that's, you know, down a significant notch. And I just came away from it feeling like, eh.
I think the big difference yesterday is just like Tannehill had a bad day. Tannehill had a couple throws like you can't make, and he hasn't really done much of that, you know? So when he makes a couple decisions that, and then the defense is a pick, and it's, they run all over the field celebrating, it makes it seem worse. But it was, look, ones versus ones. It's a mismatch up front, right?
You know, a lot of other teams have – I'm not saying you're not saying this, but a lot of fans are dismissive of this. Well, the Titans just have a great defense. We don't know how great the Titans' defense is.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of teams have good defenses. It's not like the Titans are going to waltz into – see. Like, you look at the beginning of their schedule, they're going to see some good defensive fronts.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's not like, what a relief the first couple weeks are where they don't see the Titans' defensive front. No, they're going to see good defensive fronts.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's the thing. I mean, I think the Titans are good. I think the Titans could be a very good defense this year. It's not they're not like in a different, you know, solar system.
Right.
Yeah. Robert says, Joe, I was thinking the same thing. Vrabel's going to Ohio, and he's preparing T to take over. What do you say? You got that? Yeah, you in with that? I think Robert's trolling you.
Shane Bowen is taking over.
Austin from Clarksville says,
Do
you think Tim Kelly takes any blame with the offense doing so bad? Well, I mean,
he's not calling plays.
You don't take blame until football happens. You know, you're actually calling plays in a game in real football. So even Saturday, you know, you don't have a game plan for the Bears that you're implementing here. So, you know, if the offense is bad this year, then sure, he'd be part of that.
But if the offense is bad right now, it's on the people who are playing badly.
Right. I mean, this is right. They're putting the guys out there, running their plays, seeing if they can block and execute.
People are so anxious to blame a coordinator; they're looking for a head start.
Hey, it's the absolutely most blamed thing in sports is the OC, right?
So primed for it. They're so downing. They just take the name out, put the next name in, and continue.
And John from Nashville says, Paul clearly isn't the only one who annoys Vrabel. That is very – Paul always tries to take – that's another thing Stilly does. Like, oh,
Still, he thinks he influences what the Titans do.
Well, he also thinks he's the only one who asks a tough question.
I do not by any means think I influence what the Titans do.
You guys,
and that's ridiculous by him.
You guys are peas in a pod. All right, we come back. I think we're going to talk a little bit about Malik Willis and the quarterbacks. That's obviously a huge thing coming up. And Paul had an interesting conversation with Malik Willis yesterday. Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Welcome back to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Nick Keyser producing. I'm Joe Rex Road. Intern Brandon's here, and Paul Kaharski in for young father Robbie Stanley.
I'm sponsored by Nashville Grass 365. You know that your golf game needs significant work, and you're not going to go to the course to do it. Get yourself a great backyard green. Turn yourself into your foursome's best chipper and putter. Check them out at nashville.grass365.com.
So one thing that's kind of weird to me, PK, because I think it's obvious, but and I get like asking Vrabel. They flip flopped yesterday. I wasn't at Vrabel. You were at Vrabel. And Vrabel did the. I like that. I like how Vrabel did the. You know, just stand around like an assistant. You guys crowd around me and ask questions. You know, like totally change.
It's like
roles.
A Friday.
Yeah, that's true, but. He's getting the question about who's going to start, you know, and he says, well, I know, I'm not going to tell you. I mean, Malik Willis is starting, right? I mean, isn't that obvious?
I would think so.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's...
It's choosing between guys and...
And I don't think he even means seniority. That much. Yeah, I mean, he's been with the twos consistently. Levis has been with the threes. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. Malik Willis is going to start this game. And then I don't know after that what... There's nothing obvious after that. Half and half, quarter, quarter, random...
I don't think you take a guy out and put him back in.
Yeah, they've done that. They have done that at quarterback in preseason games.
I know. I don't think it's advisable.
Okay, so you're saying it should be a half-half and then you just flip-flop it next game like that?
That's what I would do. I mean, I like the idea of the quarter-quarter, but I think, you know, once you're loose and then you're out and then getting loose to get back in, I think you're opening yourself up to strain scenarios.
So Malik Willis – PK had a few of us were around Malik Willis, including Charles Robinson, by the way.
It was good to see him.
Big Chuck was in town, which was good to see. You had an interesting little exchange with Malik Willis, kind of about, and it's a frequent theme, I'd say, which is progress this year, you know, you this year versus you last year, you being Willis. You know, the presence thing that Vrabel has talked about, like presence.
Vrabel talked like, you know, he's in the building, which makes it sound like last year he was a mouse.
Right.
Who they had no feel for his presence in the building, which really makes you feel like, wow, I'm starting this guy who I hardly know is in the building.
Well, that is interesting when you think about that and go back to the decision to make him QB2, right? Which turned out to be not good. But here's
not that they had an alternative.
Hey, man, Logan Woodside, Maction. Here's PK and Malik Willis yesterday after practice.
I think it's just understanding what you're doing and having the command over what you're doing that you can have a presence. You can't do that if you don't know what you're doing. If it's your first time under the center, if it's your first time running this type of offense, and more than anything, it just takes reps and time.
Did you realize last year that you didn't have that presence to the degree they want, or only looking back can you tell the difference?
I mean, I didn't call a play in the huddle in college. I knew that.
So that was Malik Willis. And, yeah, I've heard some similar conversations, but he's quick to – he wants people to remember, like, hey, huge difference coming into this league. And that's where, like, right now, rookie Will Levis is much better than rookie Malik Willis.
I think
we would agree.
Yeah,
but he should be.
I think Malik Willis is much more self-aware now because he's playing better and has a little bit of confidence back. And so he can say those things about last year, where last year, even though he knew all those things, he had to be a little bit defensive because people felt like he didn't belong because he looked like he didn't belong.
Right. Yeah, and obviously then things go poorly. You think about like the presser after the Texans loss, you know.
I feel the same if I win or lose. That's what he said.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's like, eh, right.
That was not a good presser.
No, it wasn't a good presser. But I agree with you. I think that his confidence is pretty obvious. And my thing that I'm really interested in tomorrow is just, you know, it's just the getting the ball out.
Will he throw it?
Get the ball out, because when it's there, I think one thing we've seen a lot in a lot of different kinds of throws, if basically the first read is there, he can rip it, and I think he's throwing the ball better. I think his mechanics, maybe his footwork, whatever it is, I think the ball is more accurate and reliable coming out of his hand when it's there, boom. And it's touch on the deep pass, and he's got tons of zip. I personally think he has the strongest arm on a, you know, like an intermediate route, but it's close with Willis and Levis. But then you still have the pauses if the initial thing gets taken away. And it just, to me, you just would much rather see him go boom, boom, progression, get it out, than pat, and run.
What do you think? What do you expect from him tomorrow if there's a situation where something doesn't present itself to him immediately?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, to me, it's like if I'm the Titans, if I'm the offensive staff, if I'm, you know, Charles Lund and Tim Kelly, I want to see a quick second read, third read, ball out much more than I want to see him take off. It's an element of his game that's a threat, and
we know it.
No question, it's an asset. But yeah,
I think we'll see. We'll still see hesitation tomorrow. I think in game, the process to get where he's showing progress in practice will still be a big deal. Charles London, by the way, yesterday, did you make it for that? He's been.
I was doing this show pretty, without you.
You're welcome. He's been pretty thoughtful and helpful as a talker thus far. Yesterday, completely clammed up with regard to the two young quarterbacks and to expectations for the game and all of that. Like,
that's not a big surprise, is it?
Completely went into game mode.
Right.
It's a preseason game. I thought.
Yes.
I was surprised the degree to which he shut it down.
Okay. Well, but it's also, I mean, what's the focal point of this preseason game? It's absolutely
his two guys.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the other guy, Will Levis. So, as part of this bad offensive stretch, especially, Terry McCormick said, did he say they had zero completions in one of the red zone periods? I don't remember that exactly, but
I don't know if he said
was
that.
Was it that bad? I think he said that. But they had a rough period. So Levis contributed with a bad pick. It was a fade, and he just underthrew it, and it was easily picked by who the heck is 38? 38 picked it off, and I'm going to tell you his name because he deserves credit for making a good play. Ran down the field.
Credit.
The whole defense celebrated. So it was one of those. It was just part of the whole, you know, offensive misery at that point. Levis comes back out and hurry up his next opportunity and goes boom, boom, boom for probably about 45, 50 yards and three straight completions. Really good stuff. Really good throws.
The best of the day, I think.
And by the way, including a fantastic.
Alonzo Davis had the interception. It was intended for Kyaris Jackson.
No, it was Shaheem Carter had the pick, man. I'm sure of it. 38.
You have a roster in front of you?
I mean, I'm looking at the roster right now. I think it was Shaheem Carter.
I think it was Alonzo Davis.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to – we'll settle this. But either way, Levis came out, boom, 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 really good stuff. Racy McMath, strong, attacked the ball on the sideline, get both feet in. I was like, wow.
He went up with strong hands.
And then you get inside the 10 and you don't get it in, and Levis kind of takes a weird play.
Like, either they call the sack – if they didn't call
a sack,
he might have been intercepted, or it might have been incomplete. It was a bad play on one of three levels.
I don't remember
from
almost intercepted.
A sack to almost intercepted to incomplete.
Yeah.
Then they ran end of game scenarios down in the deep red zone, 10-yard line.
It's like it's fourth down, there's 2 seconds left, you have to score a touchdown, and the defense is just going to play at the goal line stuff.
And they took three stabs at it, and they didn't get it in.
Yeah, but those are I mean, that's how it should work out, right? I mean, you shouldn't be able to get those in.
No, I think you should.
I mean, if the defense knows, they just have to protect the end zone.
Well, you got to complete a 10-yard pass.
Yeah, well, okay. Easy for you to say. So, bottom line, those guys.
I'd like you to go 1 for 3.
Those guys, they had their ups and downs. I'm very interested to see. I mean, I do think that Levis has been gaining, and I think it's close, and it's going to be interesting. And when we come back on Robbie and Rex Road, we're going to do Call Your Shot Friday.
I got 2 shots. I'd like to find one more shot.
Find a third shot.
During this pause.
Find a third shot. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It is that time. Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Show. First, really quick, I would like to remind you to get out of the summer heat and join us for craft brews, food, games, and entertainment at the 2023 Nashville Predators Craft Beer Festival. The fun is tonight, 6:30 to 10, Bridgestone Arena. Proceeds benefit the Preds Foundation, which supports Middle Tennessee nonprofit groups and programs in the community. And now it's time to call some shots. But first, I will go back to last week and see how we did. Nick says Trey Wolf will get the kicker job by the third preseason game, so we will see on that. I think I might put him slightly ahead, but very much the undercard of tomorrow to me. The quarterback, QB2 race, and then the kicker race. Nick also says Jeff Simmons gets 11 sacks this season. We'll have to remember that. Paul, you said U.S. Women's National Team shut out by Sweden and come home in shame. So,
ding, ding, ding.
Pretty much got that right. You also say Reggie Robinson will have a big game tomorrow, and people will be far too excited about him, so we'll see about that. We'll get to test that one tomorrow. And Nestor Cortez hasn't thrown since May 30th, off the 60-day, and he will get shelled, according to you. He was good. See? No faith in your Yankees. I said Peter Skoronski will be working at left tackle after this first preseason game, so I'll bless you. I'll let that ride. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine won't make the team, a controversial shot that I called.
It's going to be wrong.
I think it's probably going to be wrong, too. I will say, to your point earlier, I mean, he's got to play better. And, you know, part of that shot is, like, Racy McMath, who did have a good day yesterday, has not elevated, I think, the way you need to make this team in year three. Also, I said Shohei Ohtani will sign a multi-year deal with the Angels. So, we'll see on that. So, let's go with our guest, Paul Kaharsky, for your called shots this week.
By Sunday night, a name of note in the NFL will be out for the season.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's a fair expectation. I think you know you should tell us the name. Tell us who's going to get hurt. There's a pretty good chance, unfortunately, that's going to come through. Go ahead.
Chance Campbell. So I gave you Reggie Robertson last week for big numbers tomorrow. Chance Campbell is going to play a lot, and he will be among the defensive names of note by tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
And so another case of maybe don't get too excited if a guy loads up stats. I mean, Chance Campbell, I think, is a good
I think he should be a good depth guy at linebacker. Got super athletic traits about him, and I think we'll see those on display tomorrow. And Chelsea will stun Liverpool Sunday in the EPL opener for both teams. First game for Mauricio Pochettino for my Blues, and I'm a Liverpool hater, and this is also a Kuharski versus Glennon matchup.
Guarantee.
That's right. So you're a Chelsea guy, and Glennon's
Liverpool,
the Reds. Yeah. Okay. All right. Nick Kieser, got some shots.
Yeah, I do. And right. Look, I am gonna go back to our boys in gold here in town. I have to. I think that was warranted after seeing how the last game ended, which was one hell of an end. So I'm gonna go off and say NSC is gonna win 2-1 over Minnesota United. And I'm going to say that Sam Surridge scores a goal. And it doesn't have to be the game-winning goal, but I think he scores a goal.
Again.
I think he scores again. And it will be probably the first time that he starts in a match because he came off the bench last time. That's not going to be part of my called shot because he's going to play regardless. But he will score a goal, and Nashville SC will win 2-1 this weekend. You can lock it in. It's at 7:30 on tonight or tomorrow, I think. I think it's tonight, yeah. And my
you gotta clarify. Tonight's a quick turn.
Tonight, I believe it is, because the tickets went on sale really quickly the other day. So my other called shot is going to be about the Titans as well. I'm going to say that Will Levis is going to play. This is not a called shot, but he's going to play. And I'm going to say he has at least 100 passing yards and one touchdown pass. I think he does at least something good against the Bears when given the opportunity. So at least 100 yards for him and one touchdown pass.
Okay. All right.
Nashville SC is playing New England.
No, that's the regular season.
Yeah, that's a regular season game. Minnesota United is in this.
Yeah, this is the League's Cup.
The League's Cup thing.
All right, sorry.
We're giving people all kinds of Nashville SC misinformation today on the program. All right, I want to know the exact time and day of the game. So we need to tell the people.
I know it's at 7:30.
It is today. It is 7:30. There we go. All right. Okay, I got three for you guys. One, I got Will Levis with two touchdown passes and one pick in Chicago. Two touchdown passes, one interception for Will Levis tomorrow. Malik Willis will have a completion of more than 50 yards in the game tomorrow. And finally, Trey Wolfe and Caleb Shudak will each miss a field goal, and PK panic will ensue. And I don't mean Paul Kaharsky panic, although maybe Paul Kaharsky panic will also ensue. Panic will ensue. Okay? So I'm calling some miserable shots.
And that guy who texted in yesterday to bemoan you spending any time talking about kicker should then text in an apology.
So you didn't hear the outcome of that, did you?
Maybe not.
Okay, so the last segment, I looked through the history of the texter. Oh, it was Big Joe. So Big Joe trolls us all the time. He's got like these number. One of his numbers is Joanna from Donaldson, and he's and of course he always does stuff that gets me all like
worked up,
all flustered. But I figure, because one of the texts was like from the day before, like, "Wow, I'm really loving Big Joe on the air with Chase. This is great radio." Like, okay, yeah, I got you, Big Joe. I still have not heard.
So
I've not
gotten
an apology.
How are you falling for this? You need to screen your.
At least I figured it out. I figured it out in real time. Yes.
Not in real time enough.
Well, yeah, but I'll take it a segment later. So I'm trying to see if people have some shots here. But I do have a thought here. I'm from Mike from Gallatin on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. I'm with Stilly. I think Tannehill should start to get acclimated with the new offense. If Mahomes can start all three preseason games last year, no reason Tanny can't start them. What do you say about that, Paul? I would not play Ryan Tannehill in this preseason.
I mean, if Ryan Tannehill turned an ankle in this game, Stilly would go crazy. And Stilly,
and think about the possibility of that with this offensive line.
Well, here's
line
what
right
would
now.
Happen. Stilly miraculously would forget that he called for Ryan Tannehill to play in the game. And then, why is Mike Vrabel putting him at risk? I mean, after this break, I am going to tell you how dumb it is to play a starting quarterback in the preseason when you put him at risk. He's going to get hurt week one anyway. He's not going to be at 100%. And you're going to put him out there and let him roll his ankle so that he goes into the season not healthy.
I think this is a wonderful setup for Jared Stillman, who is coming up next on Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.